The president's 2018 budget blueprint is light on details about a federal pay raise or lack thereof. In fact, the so-called skinny budget has few specifics about workforce reductions or anything workforce. But the budget does begin to describe the basic starting points of the president's management agenda. Joining me to discuss this is Nicole LaGrisco of Federal News Radio. And Nicole, I guess you follow federal pay and benefits pretty closely. And I read the 50 pages of the budget and the 14 blank pages till I realized there was no more to it.
Right.
Maybe that's where they put the federal pay raise material, on the blank pages. What did you see?
So there's no mention of federal employee pay in the budget blueprint. If I were, you know, to predict whether or not it would have been included, I would have said no. We know that more details, more specific budget with policy initiatives will come out sometime in May. I've also heard at the end of April as well. So it'll be coming. And, you know, what usually happens is the president will indicate whether or not he wants to give a civilian or military employees a raise or not. He could freeze pay, which former President Obama did in recent years. And Congress, if Congress stays silent, then the president's number usually goes through.
That. And when does that usually happen?
So I believe, so often in the past, the president has indicated his plans for a pay raise in the budget request. Now, the president has until, I believe, September 1st to indicate his plans. And there are statutory pay adjustment formulas that set federal pay going forward. So the president could decide to differ from that. The president could decide to go over or above what that formula usually dictates. Congress could decide to do their own thing. They haven't in recent years. And what we saw already this year, Congressman Jerry Connolly, Senator Brian Schatz introduced a bill that would give feds a 3.2% pay raise in 2018. We still have no idea what that number looks like for 2018.
But in those detailed 2018 request tables that come out in, as you say, late April or early May, we're not sure when, it would be embedded into all those detailed numbers. Each program has a cost, and the personnel are part of those program costs. And that's where you would find it embedded. But I don't think the budget would have a line item to say, here's the pay increase.
No, but typically, along with the budget request, there's some sort of indication of what the president plans to do about a pay raise, and that's how we usually see it. Usually they come hand in hand. It's not going to be a line item that we'll see.
Yeah, there's that management perspective section, which talks about their kind of ideas behind what some of the numbers are. And there was a short section on management in this particular light budget release, and it gave us some clues. I think they want to talk about evidence-based and so forth for justifying programs.
Yeah, the management section was about a page and a half, and it first mentioned the president's hiring freeze and also the call for OMB to develop a long-term plan to cut the size of the workforce through attrition. It also mentioned the recent executive order on reorganization and cutting duplicative agencies and programs. And for me, the key sentence in this budget is that'll give us an indication of what this administration is thinking with the workforce is that those two ideas are complementary and they're going to go hand in hand. So it seems as if the budget cuts, the reorganization effort will drive personnel and workforce cuts. In this budget that we see now, there's no specifics about, you know, specific jobs are going to be cut, or there's no mention of RIFs or anything like that. But it suggests that these two initiatives will go hand in hand, and that's how agencies are going to be expected to operate, and they'll have their own discretion in the future.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicole LaGrisco. There was one paragraph on page 5 of the PDF that listed 19 independent small agencies that would be zero funded: Institute of Peace, Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, and like that, the Denali program. I don't even know what that is. And I thought I knew them all. Those 19, it didn't say those people will be fired or laid off. It said they would be eliminated or ended as agencies. But there could be functions, perhaps, that would carry over.
Right. The language that the budget uses is that funding for those 19 small independent agencies will be eliminated. So you're right. It could mean that maybe a function within the Overseas Private Investment Corporation goes somewhere else. And it doesn't say that those people are gone. It doesn't say that those offices are even gone. It would suggest that based on the wording of the budget, but it's still a little unclear by what that means as far as eliminating the funding.
I could not find any mention of eliminating the Ex-Im Bank, which was something that was a target of Republicans in earlier years that was still there. perhaps OPIC functions could move into XM, and maybe that's why they left XM going.
Yeah, and another thing I didn't see in this was mention of the Coast Guard at all. I know that was one agency that had was potentially targeted for some cuts that made several people angry. And I think what we're seeing is that Secretary Kelly of DHS will have the discretion to decide how he'll allocate funding for the Coast Guard. And, you know, based on what he receives, maybe they will receive cuts, maybe they won't.
Because the Coast Guard is in the middle of a major recapitalization program with a big shipbuilding. They're midstream in all of that. Mm-hmm. So that would be a shame, I guess, from their standpoint to see that curtailed at this point.
Right.
And getting back to the management agenda, there is no specific agenda yet formally, but I saw throughout the budget, including that management perspectives page and a half that you mentioned, I read several items about this program doesn't justify itself based on data. By the year 2020, we want to be able to say all of our programs are evaluated on hard data, I think is the word they use. So we are seeing kind of what their management philosophy is going to be.
It seems to be definitely focused on an evidence-based approach, which isn't necessarily a new concept. An interesting thing for me in that management portion of the budget was that agencies have been spending too much time on compliance activities. And they specifically mentioned developing requirements related to IT, human capital, acquisition, financial management, and real property, all of the things that we love to talk about here. And specifically, to quote for a second, it says, government-wide policies often tie agencies' hands and keep managers from making common sense decisions. As a result, costs often increase without corresponding benefits. The administration will roll back low-value activities and let managers manage while holding them accountable for finding ways to reduce the cost of agency operations. To me, that seems to be their mission statement going forward for how agencies are expected to operate.
Well, when you look at, say, in acquisition and IT, when you have the centralization and consolidation of all the buying under the category management by the General Services Administration, a lot of vendors don't like that. Business is not that thrilled with that. And so maybe they're saying, without saying it explicitly, that programs like that, we're going to forget about it. Just go get the best deal you can from whatever vendor you can. And if the total spend goes down, who cares if there's a government-wide category management program? I'm putting that on them. That's not them saying it, but that seems to suggest that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they also talked about the fact that agencies have been trying for too long to improve specific things. They mentioned hiring specifically. It takes too long to bring in top talent. And they said that they want to work on that, and they want to find evidence-based approaches to making it work. And I thought that was an interesting point that I frankly wasn't expecting to see in this budget blueprint here.
So I guess it tends to maybe mitigate against the power or influence of some of the agencies that provide centralized services like GSA, like Office of Personnel Management, and maybe making agencies more federated, if you will, like just like the president said he wants to federate the government and return to state power. Maybe this returns more to agency, more power to agencies and less to these policy-making shops.
I think it's a little too early to tell.
I'm sure it is. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. And you know, GSA only got a line item mention in this budget blueprint. OPM was not mentioned at all. So it's still unclear exactly what its role will look like. I think we'll see it again, you know, maybe with more detail in May. But yeah, that is an interesting thought, and I wonder what role some, you know, OPM and GSA and even OMB is going to play in driving some of these major initiatives.
Yeah, the question, you see, I only have one line in the skinny budget. Is that good news or bad news? I guess time will tell.
Right, yeah.
Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
You can find her coverage and all of our extensive coverage of the budget proposal at federalnewsradio.com.